Hi, welcome to the Read Play Talk podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Paris.
And I'm your other host, Jack Love.
This podcast is a resource for parents and caregivers as we educate on the importance of reading, playing, and talking with children every day. In this episode, we are talking with Elisa Tubbs, who is an early literacy specialist for Mesquite ISD.
Awesome, Blossom. Welcome, Elisa. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited for you too, obviously. So before we get too far deep into the woods of early childhood literacy, why don't you tell us just kind of a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm married and I have two boys, 21 and 17. Man, that time goes by fast.
Yeah.
I am a Red Raider at heart. Grew up in Lubbock, Texas, and started my career there about 25 years ago. Taught a few years there, worked in Mansfield ISD, and then finally made my way to Mesquite. So this is year 15, I believe, in Mesquite ISD. So.
Did you come to Mesquite as a teacher?
I did. Okay. I did. I've done, biggest stint of my career has been in first grade, which is my favorite. You get to see the most growth, particularly in reading and literacy in that grade. Yeah. But I've taught fourth grade and second grade, and I've done a lot of work with second language students and supporting transitioning to English.
So, very cool.
Yeah, what campuses have you been at here in Mesquite?
In Mesquite, I started at Tosh with Betsy Adams, one of my favorites. And then I moved to Lawrence, where I worked as an ESL teacher. And then I was a coach at Thompson Elementary. And then I've been in this role as early literacy specialist for about 5-6 years now, I think.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, so you've kind of been like all over the place.
I have.
Different feeder patterns, different levels. I have.
It's been neat. It's been giving me a really big perspective and dynamic to see different populations of students, different needs at different levels and different campuses. So.
And I'm sure it helps make you do your job better, like having those experiences at interacting with those different families and on different campuses.
Yeah, I hope so. I did my undergrad work at Tech, and then I got my master's in curriculum instruction with a focus in reading through A&M Commerce. But I really think it's the real world on the ground experience that's been the most beneficial.
Yeah, and I can say as a dad of two boys, preach, unite. You know what I'm saying?
I'm telling you, I'm not sure if teenage years are really. I think they're harder than toddler years. So to all those toddler
don't
parents,
tell me that. Just, I'm not to the teenagers yet.
You'll get through it. I promise.
Awesome. Well, today we want to talk about reading and why it's important. I think just about every parent would agree. Kids need to be reading during the summertime, you know, just to help support their instruction from the previous year and support them to be successful in their next year. But as an educator, like, why is it important for kids to read during the summertime?
So it's funny. Everybody thinks that reading's not like walking or talking. It's something the brain's not naturally wired to do. So we really have to teach and train the brain to do those skills. And so just like you think about kind of like working out, if I sit on the couch all winter when it's time for spring and I get out to start walking again, it's hard. My body's not ready for it. The brain's kind of the same way. We really have to train those skills and practice those skills until they become automatic. You know, as an adult, we can go without reading for a long time and we don't forget how. But for the young child, all of that is still developing. And so when we leave those gaps, it's just harder when they get back to school to begin to relearn and fine tune those skills.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that the brain's not necessarily wired to read. Like, we really do have to teach kids. And like you said, any kind of new skill, like if we're not practicing it regularly, we're going to lose that skill.
Yeah. It's funny. I think there's been a lot of shifts. You might hear people talk about reading wars and things like that, about how reading is taught and how the brain learns to read. And I think we live in a really neat day and time in that we have the technology to really see what's happening in the brain now. And so we've learned more and more over the years how important it is to teach the brain and the neural pathways all of those patterns in language. You know, my kids weren't big readers when they were little, but I really tried to promote it and have learned a lot even now on this side of it, of things I could have done better.
Mm. Very cool. So routines build habits, right? Clearly there's a difference between the two, but you got to start with the routine. So what can parents do to kind of help their kids create a routine within their daily lives of reading and maybe make that a habit as they move forward?
Yeah, that consistency is hard. I think that's true with anything in parenting. But definitely, you know, when my boys were little, we tried to find a time of the day that was consistent for all of us. And for us, it was bedtime. Even through the summer, we tried to keep that, like, let's brush our teeth, let's get into bed. And whether it was me reading to them or them reading to me, you know, both are super beneficial. That was one way that we found a notch of time. You know, during the summer, it probably was a little harder because schedules aren't consistent, but just encouraging them and making it fun, whatever time of day that is. You know, as my kids got older, we would try to find a day of the week that our activity today is just to sit down and read. One of the funny things that was hard with my boys was they wanted to be out and playing, and so we would make reading part of that activity. Mm-hmm. If we're going to the park, let's take a book, and during our picnic, let's read. Or when we get on the slide, let's start to play some games that have to do with words and sounds and letters. I had a friend who every summer she would create a jar that they started their day by pulling something out that talked about how they were going to read. And it didn't always have to be a book. It might be, today we're at the store, we're going to count and see how many words you can find on the products around us. Mm-hmm. Or today, when we go to the restaurant to eat, you can choose because you're going to be reading the menu. But showing them those real life parts of reading was really important as my boys were growing.
Yeah, I love it. You're taking like reading on the go. You know, just using whatever environment you're in. We talk about that a lot with Read, Play, Talk. It doesn't have to be just at home. It can be when you're out doing like your errands or shopping or at the park or whatever. There's all kinds of opportunities.
Yeah, just create a discussion. It's the routine, right? It's the consistency, you know, and back to exercise, right? If you don't make it a routine and do it at the same time every day, it becomes really hard and you just put it aside and you forget about it and life moves on. I think the same thing is with reading. You've got to make it, like you said, whatever works for you and your family, make it happen, but stick to it for as long as you possibly can so it becomes a habit. And that habit can be used, I think, anytime during the day after it's established, but it's the routine that gets you there, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, modeling, because it was hard. I wasn't a reader as a kid, largely because I didn't see myself as a reader. Learning to read was hard. I know a lot more about why now it was hard for me.
Yeah, I feel your pain.
But yeah. So for my boys, they're kind of the same way. And I've watched with some of my students, it's really about helping them find what they like to read and letting them see the real life application. You know, I know as parents, we're busy and it might not be that we can always be there at bedtime, but finding some way of every time we're out, letting them see the purpose and the value in reading. Mm-hmm. Not just, we don't all have to be novel readers that are going to sit down and read a book at the beach, you know, but letting them see the value of what they can learn through reading and showing them the importance of it.
Yeah, it's funny because I have two boys, and because of the world that we live in, they have more tools available to them to read, like their phones and iPads, and so they don't read like I think you should read, but they're reading every day, and we encourage that. It's just a different way of reading. So don't get stuck on you got to have a book,
right?
Because it's the words, it's the words that are important, not how they get delivered to you.
Yeah, you know, as a parent. And I'm sure we're all the same. We're on some kind of social media at some point while our kids are sitting. Why not invite them into that? Mm-hmm. Obviously, make good choices about what you're sharing with them. But, letting them know what you're finding out. If you're reading a news article, why do you read the news article? Mm-hmm. Making it purposeful and not a chore during the summer. I think that's the biggest thing is when it becomes, I have to read because mom said I have to, or one of those chores that I have to do, like taking out the trash, kids will push it away, particularly kids who struggle with learning to read.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I'm glad you brought up the importance of choice, you know, with children and reading. I can't remember the statistics, so I'm not even going to try to say a number, but like a child is much more likely to read regularly when they're able to choose the topic and the type of books that they are reading. I get in this argument with my mom all the time because my girls love graphic novels. Uh-huh. And she's like, that doesn't count. That's not really reading. I'm like, oh, but it is. Like they're still reading just because there are more pictures than normal on the book. Doesn't mean that they're not reading, and it's something that they enjoy and something that, you know, they go back to time and time again, which is what we want. We want our kids and our students to love reading and to make this a lifelong habit that they have.
Yeah, finding that passion is true. You know, it's important, I think, for parents to keep in mind that reading may not look like it did when you were a kid.
For sure.
I mean, that's so true with everything.
Yes.
I just got off the phone with my husband about an app that my 17-year-old was interested in. But there are so many ways to read and things that we read. Even the books that are published for kids now look totally different.
Yes.
Graphic novels are huge, and kids really enjoy them. Sometimes you have to kind of help them understand how to navigate them. Mm-hmm. But I know for my youngest, who has dyslexia, that was a big thing for him, was finding that type of text that interested him, but also letting him know, you know, when you were reading that blog or you watch a YouTube video and then you go to read about how they made what they made or whatever crazy stunt they pulled, that's still part of the reading process.
Yeah. So I know parents will probably buy in. Yes, it's important that our kids are reading during the summer. But I know a lot of parents, especially if they're not in the field of education, might not feel equipped to help their kids during the summertime because they're like, I didn't go to school for this like their teacher did. I don't get professional learning like their teacher does. So what tips can you give to parents? How can they support their child practically this summer in their reading?
there's tons of activities, particularly with little young readers who are just learning their alphabet or just learning that letters and sounds go together. You know, I would encourage parents to start where it's easy for you. If you are big on social media, if you're a TikTok fan, there's tons of things. Just search up reading, or science of reading is a good term to search up, science of teaching reading for parents. There's actually a lady who is on TikTok and Instagram, but it's Drop-In Knowledge with Heidi, and it's drop-in without the G. She's probably more meant for teachers, but I like the way she gives you information. One of the examples that I just saw the other day, she said, you know, if you're in the line at the grocery store and you're waiting, give your child a sentence. I will walk the dog. Count the words. I will walk the dog. Five words. And when they're good at counting the words in the sentence, then start to give them sentences with words that have more than one syllable. Mm-hmm. Today, we will go swimming. Still five words, but because of the syllables, they'll probably count more. Mm-hmm. And that's really the foundation for strong readers, is when they can hear and play with the sounds of language. So she's really neat. She's on TikTok, Instagram. But I think all of those sources, you really, particularly if you stay in that realm of science of reading, you almost can't go wrong. And with the availability of social media, there are so many easy, quick tips. There's a lot you can do. I think little kids, some of the things that I was trying to brainstorm, one thing you can take your kids out, all you need is a bowl of water and a paintbrush. Go out to the driveway on a hot day and let them paint with that paintbrush. They can paint letters. Talk about what letter did you make? What sound does it make? You know, for your youngest kiddos, it's even talking about, oh, this is a straight line and this is a curved line. A couple other things, when you're at the park, playing on the slide or the monkey bars, play a back and forth. Let's play a game. I'm going to give you a word. You tell me if it rhymes. Say it when you go down the slide. Just playing with words and language and sounds as you're playing at the park. Another thing, you know, one time thinking about consistency, if I'm home to cook dinner, it may not always be the same time of day, but asking my boys to sit right there and do something with me.
Yeah, we've talked about that so many times.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one thing they used to love to do was we would pour sugar out into a cookie sheet and draw with their finger. Now they were licking their finger quite a bit, but, you know, wasn't too big a deal. Sometimes they would even get like dry Kool-Aid pack and write and draw on it and build words. So things that are easy that you can do with your kiddos right there. But yeah, I would just really encourage parents not to be afraid to search on the internet. Like I said, there's really you can't hurt your kids as far as reading. If you're just encouraging talk and playing with older kids, I would really encourage just talk to them. Mm-hmm. Talk to them, ask about why and how. Mm-hmm. Why do you like this? How did the character do that? Or tell me what you learned from that article or that video even that you watched.
Yeah. Super really open-ended, right?
Do what?
Super open-ended, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I got to imagine, probably stay within your comfort zone. Don't be scared to stay in your comfort zone. Don't think that you have to go become, you know, a doctor of reading in order to teach your kid to read. Just feel comfortable that your kid is your kid and you have the ability to help them, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, even because I was an educator and a parent, and my child still struggled to read. Mm. And it took us almost till fourth grade till we were able to figure out what was going on. So don't feel that pressure of doing it right or doing it wrong. If you're talking, if you're modeling reading, talking about the sounds you hear in words and the words you hear in sentences, all of that will help your child develop as a reader.
Yeah, it's like what we say with read, play, talk. Like as long as you're interacting with your kid, it's very slim chance that you're going to do it wrong.
Yeah. I mean, that's where those words... Read, play, and talk. Yeah. Those are the three things that you can do with kids that are going to help them grow in so many ways.
Yeah, it's funny. That kind of led me to my next question, which is reading doesn't come easy to everybody. There are kids that struggle. I know the struggle is real.
Yeah.
What kinds of other advice would you give to parents maybe to help them when their children are struggling?
It's hard as a parent when you get that information from the teacher, like your kid's not where they need to be. They're not meeting those goals. I would first say take a breath. It's not something you did or didn't do. It's just where they are. So I'd encourage parents not to internalize that and to realize it doesn't say who their child is. It's just a skill that they haven't acquired yet or are struggling to acquire. I would say listen to your teachers. You know, they particularly, our teachers here in Mesquite are really trained and provided resources to really know and help kiddos. And so ask your teachers, you know, ask our librarians are also have lots of information about how to support kids. I would say first, don't let that be an internal thing. Take a deep breath and look for ways to help. You know, the earlier we start, the better. So, you know, when that child in first kindergarten, first grade, and their teacher's already concerned, maybe they're not catching on to things as quickly as they had hoped, that's better than finding out later. I would encourage you not to say it's just age, they'll grow out of it. Like I said, this is not something we grow into or grow out of. It is something we have to learn. And everybody's brains are wired differently. And so the earlier we can help kiddos, the better.
I think it's kind of funny how you said, you know, that you got to train them. And if your kid wasn't called a reader, like if somebody come up and said, your son's not a chef, you'd be like,
right?
Well, no, he hadn't learned how to cook, right?
Right?
It shouldn't be a stigma. I mean, he's not a rocket scientist. Well, he hadn't learned math yet. You know, those guys, that's just the way that it works, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's when my son was diagnosed with dyslexia, it was funny because there were so many things that became so clear that he had always done, the way he said his words, the way he put things together. And I was like, oh, but it was really just seeing that that's just how his brain is wired.
Yeah.
And I think parents a lot of times can be overwhelmed or worried because there's a struggle. But it's just something we have to learn. And I do believe that all kids can learn through that. It is more challenging for some than others. Just like I can't run a marathon.
Right.
I could go out and I could train myself and I could get better at it. But it's not something my body's naturally good at.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's all great advice that you shared for parents. So during the school year, kids have access to so many books. I mean, our school libraries are amazing. A lot of teachers have classroom libraries that kids are able to take books home. But during the summer, that could be a little bit of a different story. We had Emma McDonald on a couple of episodes ago, and she talked about how Mesquite is a book desert, which means our homes have very few books mm-hmm. in their homes. So could you share maybe some ideas of places families could go to get books this summer for their kids?
Yeah, I mean, one of the first places to start, all our elementary campuses have the little free libraries. So it's a great place to check out. You just walk up. There's a little hut or little house there with a door. You can take something, you can leave something. So probably the easiest free way would be that way. The libraries, I know our public library works really closely with the school district in having programs available throughout the summer and being able to check out books there. You know, obviously Half Price Books is one of the good places. There's several websites as well that you can search. Trading with Friends, too, because that's what we as grownups do, particularly people who are big novel readers. Oh, I read this over the summer and I'm going to trade with somebody else. Those are probably the quickest, easiest ways. But really, I would just take advantage of the libraries. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that talking back to that routine idea, set yourself a day of the week, you know, where you might can go to the library or get online and visit online libraries. You know, I will say we have all of those resources that your kids have digitally through the Mesquite ISD library is available to you during the summer. There's also lots of apps. I mean, Epic is one of them. ABC Mouse is another. There's quite a few apps that offer digital books. So that's another good way to read but not have to have actual books in your hand.
Yeah. I wanted to say something about the little free library. So we're actually doing a project right now to restock and repair all the little free libraries. I can't remember how many years ago that was that those were installed on elementary campuses, but it's been over 5 years.
Yeah.
And some of those libraries have been very well loved, and you can tell they've been well loved. So we're repairing those, restocking. So hopefully by the beginning of summer, those will be ready to go, fully stocked for families to use. And I also wanted to remind families of the summer reading programs that the district does. And we actually started doing the same summer reading program as the Mesquite and Balch Springs Public Libraries mm-hmm. as well. So both of those have, you know, incentives, and the public libraries have prizes that you can earn by reading so many pages or so many minutes. So I would encourage families to take advantage of those summer reading programs as well to hopefully incentivize your kiddo to read more during the summer.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Thank you for being here today.
Yeah.
You know, every time we do one of these, I learn something new. It's really great to get to meet so many different people. So thank you for being a part of it. And I guess I'm going to turn it over to Lindsay to wrap us all up today. What do you think?
Yeah. Thank you for being here, Lisa. We appreciate
it. I was glad to be here.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Read, Play, Talk podcast with our guest, Elisa Tubbs. We would love it if you would share this episode with friends and other families in your community that could benefit from this information. Our episodes are released monthly, and you can subscribe to this podcast so you'll never miss an episode. If you're interested in ideas on how to read, play, and talk together at home, follow us on our social media pages. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Read, Play, Talk, and on Twitter at ReadPlayTalkTX.